Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Ayin Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top line of Daf Ayin Zayin. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side, reading one of the features of our marked Gemaras, the Nosei, the topic heading, which reads, Haforas v'hatoras nedorim b'shabbos, the absolution of vows through a husband or through a Talmud Chacham on Shabbos. Hagemara she'elis, ha'im hafora shel baal muter b'shabbos, rakim l'tzorech ha'shabbos, is the absolution on the part of a husband of his wife's vow allowed on Shabbos only if it's for the purpose of Shabbos, kamo din hatoras chacham, like the law that concerns a sage absolving one of a vow. When a sage is involved with vow absolution, in order to allow that to be done on Shabbos, it would have to be for a Shabbos purpose. Or it could be that a husband can annul a wife's vow even if it's not Shabbos related. The Gemara at the top line, Tanan Hosam, we have a Tanaic source from Maseches Shabbos, Mefirin Nedarim B'Shabbos, the absolution of vows can take place on Shabbos, V'Nish'olin L'Nedarim Shehein L'Tzorach HaShabbos, and one can consult, seek out the assistance of a sage for the absolution of vows if the absolution is for Shabbos purposes. For example, a woman, let us say, had vowed, or a person had vowed not to eat, and Shabbos came out, and now they find themselves in a bind where Shabbos is a day in which one is supposed to enjoy it. We call that Oineg Shabbos. And by adhering to the vow and therefore avoiding eating food, so one is going to impinge on the fulfillment of Oneg Shabbos. So we see this source. The first point in the source is Haforas Nedarim can be done on Shabbos, and consultation with a sage for the absolution of vows, that can be done only if the purpose of the absolution is for Shabbos. What about the first clause? Ibaya Laho, the Gemara asks, Mefirin Nedarim B'Shabbos, the opening clause of Haforas Nedarim, that is a husband annuls his wife's vows on Shabbos, L'Tzorach HaShabbos, Oidilma Afilu Shelo L'Tzorach HaShabbos. Is it only for the purpose of Shabbos? And if you are going to learn that, if you're going to take that approach, then the closing words of the source, which said Shein Litzarach HaShabbos, would extend back to point number one of the source. Or, possibly, the absolution that a husband does, the annulment of a husband, of his wife's vows, that is possible even if it's not for a Shabbos purpose. And the closing point of L'Tzarach HaShabbos applies only to consultation with a Chacham. And why is that? Well, since you're seeking out a Chacham, since the absolution on the part by an outsider needs a sage or three commoners, it looks like a court case, and court cases are not done on Shabbos. So that's one possibility. Or the second possibility that you can see in the Ran is why would the din of the Tzorcha Shabbos be limited to She'elas Chacham, it's because it's not something that is time pressured. When it comes to a husband and his wife's vows, he is able to annul them only on the day that he heard the vow. Beyond that day, at sundown, he can't annul it anymore. So in the case of a husband, there's greater pressure for annulment, the time pressure, and therefore the standard that we apply for Haforas Nedarim might be different than the standard we apply to a Chacham, where you don't have the time pressure, so why do it on Shabbos? You could do it the next day also. Well, the Gemara answers, Toshma, Detoni, Rav Zuti, Debei, Rav Popi. The following Tanaic source was taught by Rav Zuti. Ein Mefirin Nedarim Elo Letzorach HaShabbos. So here you have a restrictive teaching, that Haforas Nedarim also is done only if the purpose of the annulment is for the benefit of Shabbos. However, that's not the end of the discussion. You see, we have a long question, Omer Rav Ashi, Halo Tanan Hachi, but we have a Tanaic source that was not just a Tanaic source, because what Rav Zuti taught was also allegedly a Tanaic source, but we have a Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Nodra im Chashecha, if a woman vowed shortly before nightfall, Mefer lo ad shelo techshach. The husband can annul the vow as long as it hasn't become dark yet. The nightfall has not yet arrived. V'i amris letzorach hashabbos in shelo letzorach hashabbos lo. If we're going to accept your standard, the standard that Rav Zuti taught, that only vows that are Shabbos based or for Shabbos purpose you can annul, but non-Shabbos related vows cannot be annulled on Shabbos. My iriyah chashecha. Why does our Mishnah choose to teach the inability of annulling because of darkness, of nightfall? Afilu b'soch hayom. Eino yochol ha'afer, tishelo letzorach Shabbos hu. Even during the day, there would be a hafora limitation. An example would be if it's a non-Shabbos related vow annulment. So from the Mishnah, we see that the only restriction is nightfall. But outside of that, even if it's not a Shabbos related vow annulment, it can be done on Shabbos. The Gemara responds to this question by saying, Tanoihi. The issue is a machlokes tanoim. Haforas Nedarim, we have a Tanaic source that says Haforas Nedarim, first opinion, Kohayom. Till the end of the day. That means till nightfall. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, Omru, Me'eis, La'eis. These two Rabbonim say that you have 24 hours. A husband has 24 hours to annul the wife's vow. In other words, he's not bound by nightfall per se, but rather 24 hours. Leman domar kol hayom in tfeilo, according to the first opinion that says that a husband is limited in his vow annulment till nightfall, but not beyond that. Afilu shelo letzorach haShabbos mefer. Even if it's not a Shabbos-related vow annulment, he can do it on Shabbos. It's, as we say, if not now, then when? In other words, there's a great time pressure beyond which he can't annul anymore. So because you can see that we have like a kula and a chumra. The chumra is he has only until nightfall, but the kula is the leniency that results from that is that even a non-Shabbos-related vow annulment can take place. According to the opinion of the two Rabbonim at the end of the source, that say you have 24 hours, then we say as far as the husband's ability to annul, letzorach HaShabbos in means yes, only if it's Shabbos related, then he can annul. Shelo letzorach HaShabbos lo, if it's not for the benefit of Shabbos, for the benefit of Shabbos enjoyment, then he cannot annul. And as we just explained, okay, if he doesn't annul on Shabbos, he's got 24 hours since he heard the vow. Then he'll be able to annul it Saturday night, maybe Sunday morning. The Gemara continues with a topic, a new topic heading. On the side, we have the no say, and we present it. She'ela. There is a question. This point that we made in the Mishnah, that vows can be annulled by a chacham on Shabbos if it's for the purpose of Shabbos. Is this allowment, is this leniency only in a case where there was no time to annul before Shabbos? Or is this leniency even if they had time, they had the ability, they had the availability to annul before Shabbos, we nevertheless allow it anyway to be absolved on Shabbos. And again, we're talking about vows that we present to a chacham, to a sage, for his absolution. The Gemara. V'nish'olim l'nedorim shehen l'tzorach ha-Shabbos. The arrow that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text is simply showing you where we saw this quoted before at the top line. Ibayaloho, the question is raised. Kishelo hoya lohem panai? Is this leniency only if they didn't have time before Shabbos? Only then will we allow them to absolve the have the sage absolve the vow on Shabbos. Dilma kishoya lohem panai, or maybe even if they did have time before Shabbos. Toshma, so we answer this. Is the kiku le rabbonan? Libreid Rav Zutra, Breid Rav Zeira, the Rabbanan dealt with the son of Rav Zutra and his vow absolution. Afilu b'nedorim shahoya lahem pnai mivod yom, even regarding those vows that they had time to absolve from before Shabbos. So you see that the leniency extends even regarding that situation where he had time before Shabbos. And for whatever reason they didn't do it then, you can still have it absolved on Shabbos. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new train of thought, even though we're still within the topic of Shabbos vow absolution. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei topic heading that reads, "Hadin sholim b'Shabbos, hayim udafka biyochid mumche, or afilu b'fnei shloisha." The allowance of having vows absolved, is that limited to the situation of a single Torah expert, or even in the case of having three commoners who during the week are certainly licensed to absolve vows? We continue in our note, Lamros Sholai Nira Kedin Feindon B'Shabbos. Using three, that really looks like a court case. In Jewish law, you can see the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin deals in Maseches Sanhedrin, the tractate that deals with court cases. Three judges, three people are licensed to judge cases. And Shabbos, though, is a day that we don't judge cases. Now, the absolution of vows, as you can see, is not a case of formal judgment. Hence, you can see that we have allowances for vow absolution on Shabbos. But what about it being done in front of three? It looks like a court case. Sovar Rav Yosef Lememar. We're continuing in the Gemara itself. Nisholin Nidorim B'Shabbos. The halacha of a vow absolution taking place on Shabbos, b'yochid mumche in b'shloshed yotos lo mishum de mischazi kidina. So Rav Yosef was of this thinking that we allow vow absolution on Shabbos only if it's done by a singular Torah expert. That doesn't look like a court case, but having three commoners, which are, as we said, they are capable of absolving vows, but don't do it that way. Don't use the method, or that's don't use that instrument, namely three hedyotas on Shabbos, because it looks like a court case. Omar le Abaye. Abaye responds, and he's basically going to say, don't worry about having three people, even though it's Shabbos. Kevon de Sevira Lon, since we hold Afilu Me'umod, Afilu Bekroivim, Afilu Balayla, that vow absolution can take place even if the three are standing, even if they happen to be relatives, and even if it happens to be at night. Lo Mischazi Kadina. All of these points, standing and with relatives and at night, they show that it's not a court case, because the laws of court cases are the opposite. Namely, the judges are seated. The case takes place with relatives cannot preside over a court case, and court cases are not done at night. So since you have all of these other laws in the case of vow absolution that don't resemble a court case, the fact that I happen to have three people there for absolving the vow isn't going to lead me to think that court cases can also take place on Shabbos. As we go on into Gemara, you'll notice a new marking, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, where we combine a topic heading with a structural note, the house shape appears. Shlavim, they represent stages. Bavonas din shel Rav binyan haTorahs nedarim b'layla. We're going to try to understand Rav's halacha concerning vow absolution at night. Note in the Gemara, we're going to encounter the words we've seen before, the word mefirin and the word nishalin. So be aware that mefirin, that has to do with a husband absolving his wife of vows. And the word nishalin has to do with seeking the assistance of a chacham to absolve a vow, a sage. The Gemara, Omar Rav Abba, Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Halacha, mefirin nidorim balayla. So thanks to Rav Huna in the name of Rav, we would supposedly know that you can a husband can absolve vows at night. The Gemara asks, do I need Rav Huna to tell me that? For Hal Masnisen he, that is the Mishnah on Ayin Vav Amid Beis. Nodra Balele Shabbos. We saw that if she vowed on Friday night, that was the example of the Mishnah, and when we learned the Mishnah, we point out it doesn't mean specifically Friday, it means any night, but a vow done at night. So it said that he can, the husband can annul the vow on that Friday night. So that husband annulling vows is something that we know from a Mishnah. I don't need Rav Huna or Marav Huna and Amoyra to tell me something that we know already from a Mishnah source. Elo Eimo, well rather, Rav Huna or Marav, what is he saying? Halacha nisholin balayla. The consultation of a sage for vow absolution can take place at night. Omar le Rabbi Abba le Rav Huna. Now, up till now, we saw Rabbi Abba quoting, saying, in other words, Rabbi Abba had a tradition that Rav Huna said in the name of Rav this point. But now Rabbi Abba, on his own, asks Rav Huna, Omar Rav Hochi? Did Rav really say that? Namely, did he really say that vow absolution through a sage can take place at night? Omar le ishtik. If we look together at Rashi, Omar le ishtik Rav sheshoma b'shah sheshoma hadavar shosak. That means that when Rav heard this, that nisholin balayla, Rav was silent. Omar le Rabbi Abba asks, Ishtik ko'amris o shosi ka'amris. Once again, we look at the Rashi. Omar le ishtik ko'amris klomar. Mi ko'amris have inish di omra kamei de rav di nishon dorim b'shabbos. Vishoma rav v'shosak. Umi di ishtik rav ko'amris de hochi svirole. Oy dilma hochi ko'amris de rav havi shosi v'yishaita di mar kamei shmaitza. V'yat nafkis libra mekami de lifsok lemishti v'lo yadis maya mahader. It's interesting that Rashi uses the example of Nisholim Nidorim B'Shabbos when our Gemara is really dealing with Nisholim Nidorim Balayla. But be that as it may, the two possibilities that Rav Yabba is saying is it so that when this halacha was said in the presence of Rav, Rav heard, and he simply remained silent, and from the fact that Rav remained silent, so you concluded that Rav himself agrees with that. Or, when the halacha was said in the presence of Rav, Rav was drinking something. So when he's drinking, he couldn't respond. And in the midst of Rav's drinking and his hearing this particular halacha, you happen to walk out, and you don't even know what Rav's response was. Those are the two possibilities that Rabbi Abba is presenting to Rav Huna, with Rav Huna's having said to Rabbi Abba that ishtik, that Rav was silent. Again, was the silence simply a silence that you're interpreting to be a silence of approval? Or was Rav drinking and you walked out and you never heard what Rav really answered? The Ran has an approach as well, similar to this. You can see the Ran that we're looking at is on the third line from the bottom of the Ran commentary. You notice that toward the end of the line, Rabbi Abba shoal l'Rav Huna im shoma me'Rav beferush. Rabbi Abba asked Rav Huna, did you hear Rav say this explicitly, that the Nisholin Balayla? V'heshiv lo Rav Huna, and Rav Huna responded, Di'ihu Omar kameh d'Rav Rav Shosak. Rav Huna says to Rabbi Abba, you know, I said this halacha. This is where slight difference between Rashi's explanation and the Ran, but here you have Rav Huna himself saying this to Rav, and Rav Shosak, and Rav kept quiet. V'shalo Rabbi Abba l'Rav Huna, and then Rabbi Abba responds with a question. He says, "Hal d'shosak loch Rav mishum d'hoydu l'dvarecha? Is Rav's silence as a result of his agreeing with you? Ka'odem ha'im l'chaveru ashkich, as a person says ashkich, which means let's drink a l'chaim to this. That's a great thing you said. Odilma d'shosak loch mishum shirotza l'shaskicha." Or was his silence because he wanted you to keep quiet and he didn't bother answering you? And as the Gemara goes on, even though we don't have this lashon in the Gemara, but nevertheless we read on the last line of the Gemara, Omar Rav Iko Bar Oven. According to the Ran, this is an answer that Rav Huna, or that the Gemara provides to Rabbi Abba's question. And it's as follows. Is dakik le Rav, here is a story involving Rav himself, le Rabba, in other words, that Rav absolved a vow for Rabba, but Kituna de Be Rav, Kituna, we're at the top line of Omid Beis. Kituna is a small room near a Beis Medrash. And how did Rav absolve it? It was Oymed, Yechidi, Ubalayla. We dashed on Balayla because that's the main point over here. So you see that Rav himself absolved vows at night. As we continue in the Gemara, we continue with a more halachas along these lines. On the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Prote dinim b'nisholim l'chocham v'hitir neder. Detailed halachas, many of which we've seen already, regarding the absolution of a vow on the part of a sage. Be'amida, standing, yechidi, alone, singular, in other words, not three. Laila, at night, b'shabbos, and bekroven with relatives. The Gemara. Omar Rabo, Omar Av Nachman, Halocha Nisholim Lidorim, vows can be absolved, Omeid, where the sage is standing, Yechidi, he is alone, in other words, not three, U Balaylo, at night, U Beshabbos, U Bekrovim, and with, if they happen to be related. The fact that they are relatives does not bother us in the realm of vow absolution, which, as we pointed out earlier, is not the case when it comes to formal court cases. Their relatives are considered disqualified. A sixth point, Vafilu Hoyo Lahen Panai Mibod Yom. With regard to the Shabbos point, we say here, like we saw earlier, even if they had a chance, even if they had time to have it absolved before Shabbos, and they waited till Shabbos, the vow nevertheless can be absolved on Shabbos. The Gemara asks, O maid, you in point Aleph, that's why you see the Aleph here in parentheses corresponds to the Aleph from the list just before, and the line right before. We ask, V'hotanya, but do we not have a Tanaic source that says, Yorad Rabban Gamliel min HaChamor, a case of a vow absolution involving Rabban Gamliel? He was riding on a donkey, he got off the donkey, V'nis'atef V'yoshav V'hitir Lo Nidro. He cloaked himself, and while seated, he absolved the vow. The Gemara answers that there are two different approaches to vow absolution, and depending on the approach that you accept or that you hold by, this will be a point of difference. Rav Gamliel Sovar, Ein Poischin Becharota. Rav Gamliel holds that it's not enough for the client seeking absolution to simply say, I right now regret having made the vow. Me'akir Nidra Bo'inon. What is necessary is to uproot the vow from the outset. And in order to do that, uboi iyuni, and you need to investigate. In other words, you have to pose questions to the client. Had you known, and you have to think up, you have to think of good questions to ask the client. Would you have vowed had you known thus? And that requires thought. Ahachi Yosha, that's why he sat down. So because of Rav Gamliel's fundamental principle that vow absolution cannot be done in a superficial way by simple expression of regret, but rather you have to uproot it from its beginning, as we just explained, therefore Rav Gamliel sat down. But Rav Nachman Sovar, Rav Nachman holds like other Tanoim that hold, Poischin Becharota, it's enough to have the vow undone through mere expression of regret, right now, current regret. And therefore, ve'afilu me'umot. You notice how we've read our Gemara using the girsa that you find in the Ran and the Bach. And hopefully you're using a marked Gemara, the Shas Ozer, which of course, if you don't have one, you can access it through contacting us at gmarkings@gmail.com. We continue in the Gemara with a long point. As you can see, it's marked thusly. On the side, the Nose reads, Hanoder, one who vows, Nikra Chote, is considered a sinner. The Gemara, Omar Le Rova Rav Nachman, Chozi Mar, Hai Mirabona de Osa Mimarova, Vi Omar. Do you see this rabbi coming from Eretz Yisrael saying, Is the kiku le rabbonon lebre de ravhuna bar oven vishoru le nidre? The rabbis dealt with ravhuna in his seeking vow absolution, the omru le, and they said in their words, in their discussion with him, with the son of Rav Huna, they said to him in seeking his regret, Zil uboi rachami al nafshach dechotasa. You know, you're going to have to seek mercy on your soul because you have sinned. Let's take a look at Rashi. He says in the middle of the Rashi column, the Omru Le Zil Boy Rachami Anafshach Kach Poschu Le Becharota. This is how they opened their appeal in seeking his regret. And this thinking is based on the following: Detoni Rav Dimi Achvo de Rav Safro Kol Hanoider. Anyone who vows, Alpha Pishu Mekaimo, even though he fulfills his vows, Nikra Chote, he is considered a sinner. For the mere utterance of a vow, you're considered a sinner. Omer Rav Zvid, Mikra, Rav Zvid asks, what is the scriptural basis for that? The Pasuk says, V'chisechta lindor lo yabuchochet. When you cease vowing, you will not bear sin. Ha lo chodalto, ikochet. However, if you haven't ceased from vowing, there is a sin. So you see, the mere act of vowing is sinful, regardless of whether you fulfill it or not. On the side of the Gemara, you can see, first of all, in the Gemara text, we have a slash indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the side, under the Noseh heading, we indicate Lishoinus Shel Hafora, different languages or expressions of vow annulment on the part of a husband. Shelo mo'ilos or shemo'ilos, some expressions are effective, some are not. Be'ezet tzura lishoni mefirin b'shabbos. And the Gemara will also discuss what is the text, if you will, or the proper expression of vow annulment when done on Shabbos. I'm sure everyone has already gotten the impression that Shabbos is different than all other days, as is quite obvious to everybody. And it even has a, say, a there even seems to be a need for making some type of distinction. Though we allow vow annulment on Shabbos, but maybe it shouldn't be done like you would do in any day of the week. We always strive to elevate Shabbos as a holy day in contradistinction to the common weekdays. So, is that manifest when it comes to this area of law, vow annulment? The Gemara, Tanya, Ha'imer li'ishto kol nidorim shetaduri. Woman says to his wife, all vows that you vow, e efshi shetaduri, or ein ze neder. He says, I can't handle your vowing, or he says, this is not a vow. Lo omar klum. These expressions are ineffective. They don't constitute an annulment. It's not the way to phrase annulment. The source goes on describing a husband that wants to substantiate. He wants to second the motion, to substantiate her vow. And he says, Yofe osit. You did nicely. V'ein kemosech. There's no one like you. Or he says, V'im lo nadart madircho ani. If you hadn't made the vow, I would have imposed the vow on you. All of these expressions, Devorov Kayomen, the vow is considered substantiated. As you can see in the Meforshim, they say you don't have a greater kium, a greater substantiation than that. As far as the continued reading here, there's a suggestion that this is the beginning of a new source and the word Tanya is missing, or as you can see in our Markim Oros, the two dots are simply there by mistake. This is all drawn from the comment on the side of the Gemara. We continue. Lo yomar odom liishto b'shabbos. A person in attempting to annul his wife's vows on Shabbos should not say mufur lichi, botil lichi, kederech sha'omer lo b'chol, using the same expression that you would have used had it been a weekday. Elo omer lo, rather, you say to her, tli v'achli, tli ushti. Let us imagine she had vowed not to eat or not to drink. So you tell her on Shabbos, take that and eat it, or take that and drink it. V'haneder botil me'elov. And with that, the vow is annulled on its own. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'tzorch shivate b'libo. Rabbi Yochanan adds that on Shabbos, even though you told her tli ushti, you have to in your heart, you have to say mufor lichi. You have to express internally the correct or standard annulment text. Tanya, be'shamayomer, b'Shabbos mevate b'libo. when it comes to Shabbos, you are to annul in your heart. B'chol motzi b'sfasav, and during the weekday, you are to utter the annulment. U'beisil omrim echod ze ve'echod ze, whether it's Shabbos or even a weekday, mevatel b'libo ve'intzor lahotzi b'sfasav. It's enough for one to internally annul the vow, and it's not necessary to articulate it, to verbalize it. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Mark Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.